Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 4. Okay, 2 Samuel 4. Now when Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost courage and all Israel was disturbed. And Saul's son had two men who were commanders of bands. The name of the one was Bana, the name of the other Rechab, sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, of the sons of Benjamin, for Beeroth was also considered part of Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gittim, and they have been aliens there until this day. Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled, and it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and he became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. So the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, Rechab and Banaz, departed and came to the house of Ish-bosheth in the heat of the day while he was taking the midday rest. And they came to the middle of the house as if to get wheat, and they struck him in the belly, and Rechab and Banaz, his brother, escaped. And when they came into the house and he was lying on his bed in his bedroom, they struck him and killed him and beheaded him. They took his head and traveled by way of the Arabah all night. Then they brought the head of Ish-bosheth to David at Hebron and said to the king, "Behold, the head of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life, thus the Lord has given my lord, the king, vengeance this day on Saul and his descendants." And David answered Rechab and Banah, his brothers, sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, and said to them, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, when one told me, saying, 'Behold, Saul is dead,' and thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him in Ziklag, which was the reward I gave him for his news. Now, much more, when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house on his bed, shall I not now require his blood from your hand and destroy you from the earth?" Then David commanded the young men and killed them and cut off their hands and feet, hung them up beside the pool in Hebron, but they took the head of Ish-bosheth and buried it in the grave of Abner in Hebron. Okay, amen. Okay, this is a relatively short passage. But Ish-bosheth is murdered at this stage here. These two commanders, they go into the house of Ish-bosheth, which is actually quite common. What they would typically do is soldiers would be paid obviously silver as part of their wages, but also they'd also be paid in wheat. And so it was very customary for them to go into the court, the palace or whatever, to get wheat, and they would just get it and give it to the men. That was very common. So they actually had an excuse to be there during this time. What ends up happening is they obviously make some kind of plot to kill him, and thus thinking that, oh, we should gain some favor with David as a result. It was very customary in the ancient Near East, that if you had your enemies and you brought the head of your enemy to whichever king or whatever, that there was meant to be a great reward that comes your way because you basically prevented the armies from fighting because you did this deed. And obviously, David's not like any of the other kings in the Near East in this regard. And he considers this to be an act of murder, and he treats them thus in that way. You have to feel for these commanders. Remember, their great leader, Abner, has died. And it says, and as a result, the whole country is upset, or it's disturbed as a result. And so they're just trying to just figure some stuff out for themselves. They're basically trying to take care of themselves in this regard. And so they murdered Ish-bosheth. There's one little note here in verse 4 about Mephibosheth. And this is the lame son of Jonathan that in a few chapters later on that actually David takes care of. And he takes care of him for the rest of his life. But the only reason that is inserted here is because Mephibosheth is actually the last descendant of Saul. So could be competition in that way. And so that's just how the writer is laying out this passage. But the key to understanding this and understanding David's actions through this is actually verse 9. And the end of it, it says, "And as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress." David, remember one of the themes of 1 and 2 Samuel is the the hands of God, the work of God through all the history of Israel. And so God works not just in highlights, but also in the lowlights. And seemingly, God uses these evil men. God uses even Joab. Even though David is lamenting, God even uses Joab to kill Abner in this way. And it's all kind of God's sovereign move to bring about his purposes through the people of Israel. And David has this really deep understanding. He says, as the Lord lives, right, he has redeemed my life from all distress. And his way of saying these two commanders, you didn't get rid of my enemies. You didn't help me in any cause. God is the one who did this thing. God is the one who lifts me up, who brings me down. It's not you. Men don't create this trouble. And even as he's running away from Saul, he had this deep understanding of God anointing him king, then he's going to be king. And that he doesn't have to worry about his life. And you can see that a couple of times that he gets into trouble because he takes it into his own hands. You know, he leaves Judah and he goes off and starts serving one of the Philistine kings. And all those things come to bite him at the end. And so the idea that, no, God's in charge of my life. God is the one who redeems my life. It's not you. I mean, just because you bring me the head of Ishbosheth, that doesn't mean anything, because it's the Lord that's actually taking care of me. And if you think about that, what a great way to live our life in the highlights and also in the lowlights, knowing that there is a purpose, that God has a purpose in mind for each one of us, and God's sovereign hand is going to work until his purposes get established. Remember the Proverbs? It says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the plans of the Lord, they will prevail. And so even though there's many things that we can think of, there's many ways and avenues by which we can go, God has his agenda, and his agenda is going to happen. It's what we call the sovereignty of God. God's in control, God's in charge, and God's purposes are going to come through. Now, the reality is God going to use you, or is he going to use somebody else? And that's where we interject ourselves into this story here. God can use, let's say God's going to bring his purposes. God's going to release Egypt or Israel from Egypt. So God's either going to use Moses or God's going to use someone else. Moses disobeys and doesn't want to do it. All right, God's hand, because the agenda, the work is going to be accomplished in that regard. And so when we think about in our own lives, God's purposes over Hong Kong, his purposes at your work, his purposes in your family will be established. Is he going to use you, or is he going to use somebody else? But the beauty behind this, all that lays out, is no one can do it like you can do it. You were created for this, in this regard. And so our responsibility is to step into obedience. Our responsibility is to be humble and continually acknowledge God's hand in the good and the bad. And then let God sort that stuff out. It's really quite a simple lesson that David really takes to himself. It's God who protects David, not men. Men don't protect David. God protects him. And his sovereign hand is over this whole thing, over the nation of Israel. His purposes are bigger than we are. And so we need to humble ourselves and basically step in line and just open ourselves in obedience to be used by him in that way. God can use anybody, but he wants to use you. He wants to use me. And so when we walk in obedience and humility, that's exactly what happens. And the purposes of God become established in our lives in this way. Amen? All right, let's close our eyes. Wow, that might be the shortest devotional ever. It's my Chinese New Year gift to you. Gong Yi Fa Choy. Let's pray this morning. In the highlights and the lowlights, just say, God, you're in control. In the good times and the bad times, God, you're in control. I may not understand it all, but you promise peace. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We may not understand, especially in the bad times, but if we ask Him, He promises us His peace, His shalom. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Let the Holy Spirit whisper into our hearts. Just make that commitment in your heart. God, You're in control. In the ups and downs, in the ins and outs, in the good and bad, Lord, You're in control. And I just need to walk in humility and obedience. And Your purposes will be established forever. Let's pray this morning.
Hear my heart's cry.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray that we would surrender to God's sovereign will. Let's pray that our hearts would be always obedient and humble in the good and the bad, the high and the low. His plans will be perfected, will be accomplished. Let's be part of it. Let's join God in what He's doing. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling cancer, going through therapy, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray over our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's going through non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's open doors and His provision during this time. So our mission focus, and let's pray for Singapore, Indonesia, and Korea. And let's pray for Singapore. Let's pray for SPSG. Pray for P. Sam Kim. Ask the hand of the Lord to be with him, his family, and the leaders. I'm actually going to be seeing him tonight. And so let's pray for our little retreat that we're having, and that God would really refresh him and Annie during our time. Pray for Indonesia. Pray for Pastor Selamat and his ministry. Also pray as he's wrapping up his doctorate, that God would continue to give him grace to continue the work. And the ladies are having a retreat this weekend as well in Noah's Ark. And so let's pray for God's hand to be with them. There's about 100 of them coming out during this time at Solar Tower. And so let's pray for just the Holy Spirit just to touch them so deeply. Let's also pray for our church plant in Seoul. They're very young. Pray for Eunsung and Janice and ask God to use them and to build a team and to just get the ball rolling there. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Lift up IP, a well, and the river. Pray for his anointing, protection. Pray for the counselors and our intercessors and healing ministers that they would really be used by God in a powerful way. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our education ministries. Pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, SPU. Pray for anointing. Pray for our pastors and our volunteers and the young people that all really encounter the Lord. Let's pray over outreaches tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and the Homie Outreach. Let's pray for ladies going out again. Thank you for their faithfulness. Let's pray that they would really allow the Lord to really encounter them as they encounter people on the streets. Let's pray for the Homie Outreach as they go to the homes. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really bless them and really empower them and keep them warm tonight. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our house churches tonight. Let's ask God to bless Elements and Olympic, be with our leaders, our hosts. God would really empower them as they go through the Beatitudes. Let's pray for just a real anointing tonight. Let's pray for Karen Lau from Hopewell House Church. Pray for friends, parents, and students who all come to know Jesus. Pray for an intimate relationship with God and also for a future plan to either stay in Hong Kong or go back to school. Let's lift up Karen. Let's pray for Bernice Wall from Happy Valley House Church. Pray for Nehemiah 1 prayer, grace and mercy over her family. Pray for drawing deeper with him and seeking his face and praising you forever on their family's lips. Let's lift up Bernice and her family. Let's pray for Tracy Walsh from New Conduit House Church. Pray to learn God's word through a one-year Bible plan. Play five roles well, God's wife's mom, daughter, and work. And for parents, sister, and her family's salvation. Let's lift up Tracy. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that your hand is over everything, God. Lord, that you are intimately involved, God, with the workings, not only of our lives, but in the world around us. Lord, you are sovereign, and God, and help us to always remain humble, God, and walk in obedience, Lord. And if we do that, God, we'll always be okay. We'll always be in your will. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you. Watch over us today. Watch over us throughout this whole weekend, God, of Chinese New Year. Help us to celebrate with our families, God, and truly in so many areas of our lives, God, let it be a new beginning, Lord. God, we thank you. We love you so much, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys around.